When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Hello, all you Bulls fans, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage show. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy and fellow Bulls fan, Mr. Trey Hill. Trey, the Bulls get a much-needed win tonight over the Cleveland Cavaliers, one of the people that we're trying to fend off here in the top six teams in the East. 101-91, kind of a snorefest of a game. Do you agree with that sentiment?
Yeah, it was close in the first quarter, but once Caruso got to come in and have his impact, the Bulls were able to kind of pull away a little bit, and it was nice to actually have a comfortable game because, you know, the Bulls lost those five games in a row, and they were able to beat the Pistons the other night, but it was close down until, you know, towards the end. So it was nice to have a win that you didn't have to worry about the entire time.
Yeah, that is nice. Speaking of which, I'm watching diligently all of my fantasy lineups. I have come back from behind in two leagues here, but I'm still losing in one. But if you guys do need some fantasy help out there, I know some people that can help. Take a minute and go follow at @EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. It's the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis too. Again, that's at @EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. Please go follow it now. And I started the ad read tray without even having it open. It wasn't loading for some reason. So I'm obviously getting that one down. Maybe I can actually stop reading them word for word here. Like you said, good to have it in hand. I know the narrative here is going to be, oh, man, the Bulls defense came out and played so well. But, I mean, honestly, the Cavs missed so many shots. They look so tired out there. I know they've been struggling recently, Trey. Let's see what they are. 3-7 in the last 10 games here after this one. So it has been a rough stretch for them, and they just look like almost, you know, completely lifeless out there to me. Did you see the same thing as me? I think the Bulls played marginally better defense, but I didn't think you could give the Bulls in total defense, or total, the Bulls defense total credit here.
I gave the Bulls a little bit more credit than you did, especially because it was competitive at the start of the game. It wasn't like they came out completely flat. But once Caruso came in, I feel like the energy just kind of lifted. Everything got a little more intense. And Cleveland was kind of the perfect game for Caruso to come back with, because with Sexton out, with Rubio out, they don't really have a lot of ball handlers out there other than Garland. You know, they had Wade out there for 21 minutes. Okoro was 34 minutes. Osman, 33 minutes. You know, Garland is the only ball handler. So that point of attack defense that you and I and everyone else talks about so much that Caruso brings, and when he's on the floor, it raises everyone else's point of attack defense also. And we got to focus all of that defensive intensity on Garland. To me, it seemed like Cleveland came out early. Mobley was hot. But once they realized Mobley wasn't going to be able to carry them, and the Bulls were going to suffocate Garland, it was just going to be a long night for them, because Garland had, what, six turnovers? Yeah, six turnovers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely did. And I know the Bulls at the end of the game, when Garland was kind of going off, I mean, Garland ended up with, what, like 23 points or something like that, 25 points. And he really got, like, I would say 10 of those points, like, in the fourth quarter in a stretch of, you know, maybe 3 or 4 minutes there, where he was just getting, like, to the rack in scoring over Bulls defenders with consistency. So Billy Donovan made sure and got Caruso back in there. He subbed out Javonte Green, and the rest is history, because I do think both Ayo Dosunmu and Alex Caruso were giving Garland some problems there. Garland only shot at 9 of 24 from the field. And like I said, without that stretch run at the end there with the fourth quarter, he was even worse than that, Trey. He was probably something like 20% from the field before that stretch run. So
he also had three layups blocked in the first quarter.
Yeah, and it was nice to see. And yeah, there's obviously, I'm not trying to take entire credit away from the Bulls squad, obviously. They did play, like I said, marginally better. I saw some good things out there. But I do think that the Cavs.
I think you're right. It was their second night of a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to give the Bulls credit for kind of snuffing them out. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they're a feisty team. They're young. They're motivated. And if the Bulls had came out like they come out so often and been kind of lackluster, I think this would have been, another nail biter. But they were able to kind of raise the intensity, suffocate Garland, and just kind of cruise to the win. This is what good teams are supposed to do, and it would be nice for the Bulls to go back to being a good team.
Interesting thing from the first quarter or so, both teams actually were kind of shooting the ball across the floor and making a skip pass. And the Bulls did it like three times in that first quarter and kept getting it stolen. I don't know if it's something that the Cavs had scouted or what, but man, that was kind of frustrating to watch them like continuously try to make that pass and get it stolen. So any idea what was going on? I mean, I know they were throwing the double at DeRozan, and he was just kind of trying to find the open man. So I put that a little bit on the open man nap cutting to a more, a closer spot, because that's what you're taught in high school, middle school, is when your man goes to double, you need to go find the open space that's nearest to the ball handler so you can go receive the basketball and then go attack the basket as soon as possible to try to take advantage of the defense shifting and rotating. And I just didn't see that tonight. So a couple of just brain farts in that first quarter there. Any explanation there for that kind of play there, Trey?
I mean, I think you just explained it perfectly. The DeMar was having to kind of make that cross court pass all the way to the corner. It was just such a lengthy, difficult pass.
It's like a Jokic pass. Like you see Jokic make that kind of pass.
Right, but Jokic is 7 foot. He can.
And he's also lower. He's on the block too, so it's a little easier.
Right, but even if Jokic was out there, he's higher up, so he can see that, and he can throw, kind of like a line drive. Whereas not making yourself available to the guy being double teamed whenever it is someone like DeMar. Then instead of getting to throw like a bullet pass, he has to kind of, throw it to the space he's attempting to get it to. And not having that velocity on the ball lets good defenders catch up to it and, get in passing lanes and get the ball. So I think the Bulls need to do a better job of, like you said, if not cutting all the way to the basket when their guy doubles, at least, shifting to where it's easier for the man that's being doubled to be able to see you and to get you the ball without it being easy for the defending team to jump the passing lanes.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull, Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern. Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90. Exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
Yeah, so that kind of that was a little frustrating there. So hopefully they watch a little bit of tape there and you know, shore up that offensive inefficiency, I guess you can call it. Javonte Green brings some energy though in that first quarter too, Trey. He had an offensive rebound, getting position on Kevin Love, and then a huge block maybe a couple plays later on Garland. Like you said, Garland had a couple of his layups blocked tonight, but Javonte Green may be the most impressive one, who just like absolutely sent it to the stands. Which is a lot of fun to see. So my love for Javonte Green continues to grow and continues to pay dividends here, because he is just brings the athleticism that a lot of our other players don't have.
How did we get him again from the Celtics? He was a throw-in.
Yeah.
He was considered a throwaway player. And I don't know how they let this guy get away. He's Jason Tatum, one of his absolute best friends. They had to know he was talented. So for the Bulls to be able to snag this guy and to find, you know, to find this hidden gem, he's been just absolutely wonderful.
He was part of the Daniel Tice, Javonte Green trade, Chicago Bulls. We traded away Mo Wagner and Luke Kornet. So, yeah, not really upset about that one. I thought Daniel Tice was a nice kid, too, obviously. Didn't work out. Yeah, didn't quite work out because we thought we were going to be better, and you know, didn't pan out that we made the play-in or the playoffs. So, but I thought Tice did bring a lot of good things when he played for us, and then obviously we got Javonte Green in that trade. So, that's definitely a win for us there. So, I'll take that all day. But yeah, Javonte Green, I continue to love him. Yeah, 22 first quarter points, Trey. We've been seeing the Bulls give up 30, 35, you know, even bordering on 40 points in the first quarter. Obviously we're going to say, oh, Caruso's back, so this is like solves everything. But again, I think it was a little bit of a slow start for the Cavs, and then they just never really got their feet under them or their legs under them. So just looked tired out there. But 22 first quarter points was something I noted because I loved it. Very sloppy game though to start. 15 turnovers between the two teams. It was near the start of the second I saw that. I think it was at the end of the first they even had that many turnovers. So, you know, kind of a rough game to start with. That's what I was saying. It was kind of a snooze fest. I was just kind of like, okay, this is an ugly game. Might not go in the Bulls' favor, but the Bulls turn it around at the end there. I think the Cavs end up shooting like 42%. Yeah, 42%. And the Bulls shot 44% from the field. So not the best shooting night for either team. Man, the Cavs are 5 of 24 from the three-point line, 21%. So we can thank them for that. We shot 43% from the three-point line. So how did you take that slow start? Was it just because of the back-to-back, or you know, what do you think happened with the Bulls? Actually, what do you think happened on the Bulls side?
I think Cleveland's still a pretty good defensive team, even without having Allen in there. Mobley he's so long, and I think it takes about a quarter to get used to that kind of size and that kind of athleticism out there on the court. I'm trying to think who would you compare, who has his kind of size and athleticism in the NBA right now? That it's just such a weird matchup for guys. It seemed like it took them a little while to adjust to that more than anything for me. And you know, Okoro is one of the better young defensive players. Wade's pretty good, and Garland's a turnstile, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But we also don't attack guards on the defensive end. We kind of, you know, DeRozan is our guy.
Yeah, Okoro is always underrated on the defensive end. I think he's a fantastic defender, just a really raw offensive player. So I agree with you there. And Mobley, yeah, just Mobley just continues to impress every time I see him.
Like Mobley forced DeMar to pass out of a couple shots, it seemed like, throughout the game, just because of his length. Like,
yeah.
Right, like I think DeMar, you know how he can, we think he can get his shot off no matter what. You know, it's like it doesn't matter who's defending him, he's getting his shot off. Tonight, that wasn't the case. If Mobley was on him, there were times where DeMar just was not getting his shot off.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I don't know if you saw or remember seeing, Trey, I think it was maybe the third quarter, that Evan Mobley jumped. He mistimed his jump on a Vucevic fake. He got faked out. And then he recovered and jumped and blocked the shot anyways, which is just like, that's incredible. So at the NBA level against NBA talent, I mean, you know, Vuce isn't exactly a spring chicken or anything like that. He doesn't have like the best springs, but that's still really impressive. But not a lot of guys in the NBA are going to be able to do that. So every time I see this kid, man, just does something that just makes me go, wow, I think he's going to be very good for a very long time. So Cleveland fans should definitely be excited. One other thing I saw here, Trey, and I have it noted here, the Cavs are attempting to play Dean Wade on DeMar DeRozan defensively. I think he had like three fouls in the span of a minute and a half. Dean Wade is a fringe NBA player. Obviously, he's forced into some minutes here with Jared Allen on the sidelines. But if you were to give Dean Wade a grade, A through F, for his defensive effort on DeMar DeRozan tonight, what would you go with, my friend?
I mean, the effort, it was pretty high. I'd give it a B.
Okay, fair.
He tried very hard. Like, that's why he was getting the fouls, because DeMar will punish a poor defender who is putting in the effort and making the mistakes. And that, you know, Wade, he'll try. He's good enough. But you can't put him on DeMar DeRozan and, like, he would have fouled him out in what, 10 minutes probably, if they would have kept him on him. I give him a B for effort, but in terms of, like, actual effectiveness, it was, what, like a D minus?
Yeah, it just was never going to work out. That was a really rough ask of that fellow. So feel bad for him. You tip your cap to him. He did his best he could. So, obviously, no Zach LaVine in the lineup tonight. Kobe White steps in. He had a pretty darn good game, I would say. What did he end up with the stat line here? 4 of 11 from the field. So didn't shoot.
9 points.
Yeah, 7 assists. 7 rebounds. I'm looking at the 7 assists and 2 turnovers, so that's the big thing for me, because he did get forced into some more ball handling tonight. A couple steals also. So I like what he brought to the table, Trey. I didn't mind the bad shooting. It is what it is. Like you said, the Cavs are a good defensive team. Thought Kobe White filled in really well. But let me ask you about Zach LaVine, who is experiencing soreness in his knee even after 2 rest days. Has to be a little bit of a concern there for you, right?
A little. Not a lot. I think if you're with the schedule coming up, if you're going to try and pick a couple days where you're going to be able to sneak him a few extra rest days, this was a game with Caruso coming back. You knew the team was going to be amped up. Cleveland's down a bunch of guys. This was one the Bulls should win without Zach. So the optimist in me is just thinking the Bulls were being proactive, and why, you know, if you expect to beat this team, you want to see what these other guys can do. But yeah, I'm a little worried. As optimistic as I like to be on this show, I am a little concerned. How about yourself?
No, yeah, I think I'm a little bit concerned also. Obviously, I think you're right there in saying that this is probably one of the last opportunities you have to rest Zach, because we're just definitely going to need him in the stretch run. So I'm not super duper 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 concerned, but obviously, yeah, it is a little concerning that he wasn't able to give it a go, because the Bulls still need wins, man. So I think they're not really in a spot where they're like picking spots to rest and choose and rest their players. But maybe the coaching staff and the front office are looking at this and they're saying, the Cavs are on a back-to-back. They just played the Heat, who are a really tough team to play against, and this is one of our last home games. Most of our games are away games, so yeah, maybe we had the advantage here, and so the Bulls just decided to, again, like you said, just take it a little easy on Zach, and I'm A-okay with that, and I think that's a really smart thing to do. So if that is the thinking, I'm totally on board with it. I'm assuming you are too.
Yeah, and honestly, I wouldn't be upset if he didn't play at Sacramento on Monday. I think the Bulls should beat the Kings without Zach, and I know it's kind of fun when we play the Kings with Zach, because they're the team that signed the qualifying offer. And then we match. So that's always, a nice little thing for me. But you have at Utah, at Phoenix, Toronto, Milwaukee, New Orleans, who's coming on. Like, those are your next 4 games after that. So, if it's hurting even a little bit, to me, I'd say sit him at Sacramento and then come back for that Utah game.
Yeah, we got to get him rested up, man. We're going to need him, especially when the playoffs start. But even in the stretch run here going into the playoffs, I'd like to see this team fully healthy for the last 10 or so games of the season. We are getting there, man. We are totally getting there, because we, obviously got Caruso back tonight, speaking of injuries. And we've already touched on him a little bit on the defensive side, but even on the offensive side, he brought it, man. He had a really good game, looked really healthy out there. Little concerned, he took about 3 hard spills tonight, man. And I know I asked you before, Trey, if you thought this guy was injury prone, and I just, he does make you, he makes you worried like this when he plays like this, because he has only 1 speed, which is what makes him great. But it is also something that worries me, because, he's going in for layups, getting knocked to the floor. He fell over the top of Darius Garland at one point. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's going to land on his wrist and break his wrist again or something, or re-aggravate it. So I'm going to stick it to you again. I'm going to ask you again here, Trey. Do you think Alex Caruso is injury prone? Does it worry you?
No, not at all.
That's confident.
Grayson Allen took him out with a super cheap shot. Caruso's been playing this way his whole life. I haven't looked up his injury history, but I haven't heard a lot. Like, he hasn't been chronically injured from what I understand.
Well, he's missed quite a few games. It's been stuff like, you know, sprained ankles and things like that, concussions, things of that nature. But I don't know a percentage off the top of my head. I'll try to get that. But it's been quite a few, I would say.
I like to pencil him in for what, 75% of the season, and as long as he's around for the playoffs, I'm good with it. Because other than the broken wrist, to me, I would have to kind of go back and look at him. But are they kind of maintenance injuries, like where it might not be just the one thing, but he plays so hard that, you know, once you're 35 games into the season and you've got a sore knee and you've got a sore hip and, you know, your left wrist is hurting, that maybe you shut it down for 5 games. So I'm not super worried about him. No, I like the way he plays, and maybe that's just the homer in me. But what about you? Are you concerned?
Yeah, it does concern me a little bit the way he plays, just because it's like, I can see, I mean, like you said, I think you kind of assume he's going to miss some games here and there with sprained ankles and things of that nature. It's just the way he plays. But I love what he brings to the table. Obviously, I don't want him to play any differently. It's not like it's something where I'm like, oh, we shouldn't count on this guy. He is who he is, and that's who we signed. I don't think his contract is at all prohibitive in any way. So, I don't think there's any reason to be upset about having Caruso, but in a vacuum, all those things aside, yeah, it does worry me a little bit just watching him, you know, go breakneck speed at 100% of the time. He had 11 points tonight, 4 assists, 4 steals, and a block, just all over the floor. Just incredible, man. 4 fouls too, just out there hacking. I love it. I wish he would have come back for the Milwaukee Bucks game and just like hacked the crap out of Grayson Allen. That would have made me so happy, but. Alas, we'll have to wait till maybe the playoffs. Maybe they'll catch him in the playoffs. You never know. But hey, while I got this moment here, I'm going to tell you guys about a brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit. Up to $100 plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit. And the players with the most points with a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. And Trey, I'm excited, man. Tomorrow night, we are planning right now so far. Not 100% sure, but we're nailing down the details here, my friend. But we are probably going to have Hayes on, who most of our listeners, or some of our listeners at least, should be familiar with. He is the new host of the Locked On Bulls podcast, and he is currently also the host of the long-running Chicago Bulls Central podcast, which is on YouTube. It's been getting a ton of views. So kind of an up-and-comer in the Bulls world. So hopefully we can get him on here and pick his brain about what he thinks of the Chicago Bulls. I was watching his introductory show for Locked On, and he was talking a bit about his past. He's been a fan ever since he was a baby, and he's as old as you and I are. So finally somebody that's our age. I'm pretty excited about it, Trey. I hope you are too.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. The last guest was fantastic, so I'm hoping that he can match Gottlieb on this one.
Yeah, Will did a fantastic job, so hopefully we get some same energy there. Oh, big Vooch news here, Trey. He trapped a ball handler on a pick and roll. And I think, you know, Stacey was talking about it in the broadcast too, and I agree. It's not something that you're going to see a lot from Vooch. It's not something I want to see him try to do all the time, but I want to see them try to mix it up a little bit. Cause you know, we've been saying before, you know, doing the same thing over and over again. Well, I don't know how the saying goes, but if you do the same thing over and over again, keep making the same mistakes, it's like insanity, right? And it's like, just drove me insane to watch them continue to do the same thing. So just glad to see him. You know, it's not just him. It's probably the coaching staff also telling him, what to do, or other defenders also. But I was happy to see him trap a ball handler.
Now, do you think he did that on purpose, or do you? Because to me, I thought it seemed like they were running a pick and roll, and he just, the way it was ran, Vooch kind of got switched onto Garland for a second. And I thought Garland just kind of was so far out there that when the guy came back to recover, that Vooch just decided, instead of going back to his man, he was like, well, screw it, I'm all the way out here already. I might as well try and trap him.
You have a good point. I'd have to go watch it again. I honestly, I think I was looking at my computer at that time, and I looked up and like saw it happening, and I was like, yes. So I don't think I actually saw like
the initial action. You know, I love Vooch. You know, I hate to not speak highly of him, but to me, it really looked like Vooch was kind of caught out in no man's land, and that was he made the right play because that's what Vooch does on defense. But I don't necessarily know that double was intended.
Well, you might be right there, so I'm not sure. But either way, I would like to see them throw that in here every now and then, because I think it's something you just need to do to keep the offense honest, man. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again, because then it's just so easy, especially at this level, for people to pick it apart. One more observation from tonight, Trey, and I sent you a picture of this. Patrick Williams was on the bench, and he was wearing an Alex Caruso jersey. Obviously, Caruso came back from his injury tonight. But I love the camaraderie there. I love just the, I guess, sense of humor. I wonder if he lost a bet. What do you think? Do you think he lost a bet?
No, it was a Caruso jersey, right?
Yeah, it was Caruso jersey.
I think he was just I think he was celebrating Caruso coming back. You don't think those guys love Caruso?
Oh yeah, he plays his what's off, so I absolutely think that they love him. I think he's probably a big fan of Alex Caruso.
Right. So I think he did that, you know, just to kind of like honor his return. I enjoyed it. I loved the look. I liked his look a little bit better than Zach's. I'm not quite that fancy.
I agree with you there. I'm the same way. I'm very dressed down kind of guy. So, I love Patrick Williams wearing in the Caruso jersey. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. I know a couple people on Twitter went and tweeted about it. So go find that picture, because it's awesome. And I might need to make that my background. I think I still have Kobe White as Sub-Zero, that one of the graphics people for the Bulls did, which is really cool. But I might have to change it now to Patrick Williams in a Caruso jersey, because those are two guys I love there. So, I forgot I sent this to myself in the email here. I told you what the field goal percentage was at the end of the game. At halftime, Trey, let me ask you this. What do you think the Cavs were shooting at halftime? Do you think they shot, 42% from the field, I think it was. Yeah,
41.9%.
36. 36? You're right. 35.8%
from the field. Damn, I was close. First half.
And the Bulls were shooting 45.5, so actually they shot worse than the second half. But yeah, so it was just kind of a snore fest of that first half there, but the Bulls just turned it out, and Cavs just kind of went away. But after that win, the Bulls now sit three games behind first place again. They are tied now with the Philadelphia 76ers. 3.5 games is the Boston Celtics, so we're still just a half game above the Boston Celtics, and the Cavs slipped to 6 games behind first place. So we're maintaining our spot there, Trey. I think, you know, I was actually watching a little bit of our guy that's coming on next, Hayes, talk with his co-host over there on Locked On, and they were saying they think we can, you know, pull out 10 or 11 wins here in these final games, and tonight would be one of them. So I don't know. The way they were talking made me kind of confident about it. I was thinking maybe more along the lines of 9-7 in these 16 games, including this win tonight. So what do you think? Give me a guess here, because, you know, we've got the Kings, we've got the Jazz, we got the Suns, Raptors, Bucks, Pelicans, Cavs. So those are the next six guys we have coming up. And then we also have the Heat and the Bucks and the Celtics to close out the season, which is just going to be absolutely rough. So what do you think, man? Where do you think we end up there?
Low end 8, high end 11 wins. If I had to pick a number, I'm guessing 10.
Okay. Yeah. So you're a little bit higher than me. I'm thinking 9-7.
I'm always higher than me.
Well, you know. So yeah, I'm thinking like 9-7 to close this out. So, you know, that would be what, 8-7 through the next 15 games or so. But we'll see how it goes, man. I mean, just take it a game at a time. Bulls are getting healthy now. So going to be rough, though. But yeah, that's going to do it for us, man. We're going to see up our energy here for Hayes tomorrow. Before we go, though, I want to also remind you all to use coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HOOPBALL on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. Until next time, I am Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSPPKeith. And Trey, where can the good people find you?
On Twitter at FinalFinally.
And please do follow the show at Ethos Bulls Guys on Twitter. It would mean the world to us. Absolutely. Leave us a 5-star review also if you're listening on iTunes, please. Really could use some more eyes on the show and some more ears on the show, too. I guess it loses power for it because you can't really listen with your eyes. So that's going to do it. Thanks, man.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.